But let's go with the message now, Raj. Today is why the judgment? Why the judgment? I mean, let me tell you something. You watch these little spooky movies and that scares you. What ought to scare you is standing before a holy God one day and giving an account of your life and what you did for Him or what you didn't do for Him, or the fact that you heard about Him and never accepted His free gift of salvation, and somehow, some way, this is going to be a picnic. It ain't going to be no picnic, friend. What's up with that? People ask questions like, you know, what's up with hell and what's up with God judging people? God's only love. Well, then obviously you hadn't read the Bible. What I'm going to tell you today is Scripture. It's not Gary making it up. Hey, if I made it up, we'd all win and just be happy and go on our way. Amen? But I ain't in charge. Okay? God is. Why the judgment? Actually, why the judgments? We're going to look at both of them today. Let's roll, Raj. Why the judgment? There are two judgments. The first one, one for Christians, that's believers in Jesus Christ. And then there's a judgment for non-Christians, non-believers in Jesus Christ. So how many judgments are they? Tell me.
Two
judgments. Now, let's look at it. Let's look at a quick look at Jesus Christ glorified before we get started with our message on the judgments. Because we often think the suffering Savior died on the cross, meek as a lamb, you know, and He was. Didn't open His mouth. He died freely for our sins on the cross. But guess what? He's done it. It's a done deal. He's defeated death, hell, and the grave. He is a conqueror. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He is now glorified. He's at the right hand of God the Father. And John, the Beloved, wrote the book of Revelation under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he saw Him. He showed up to John on the Isle of Patmos. And I want you to get a look at Jesus. Just in case somehow in your mind you think you can smooze your way through the judgment. It ain't happening. Let's look at it. Revelation 1, 12 through 17. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. This is Jesus. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass that had been burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. How many has been on the Maid of the Mist and sat on a Niagara Falls? How many has done it in the building? You know that roar? That's His voice. As the sound of many waters. He had in His right hand seven stars. Try to do that. Out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun that shines in His strength. The sun shines in its strength from 10 till 2 every day. Just in case you think that you're not going to, you know, stand before Him or you can smooth your way through the judgment, why don't you just go out one day, I shouldn't tell you to do this, ain't good for your eyes, but from 10 to 2, stare at the sun. That's how his countenance shines as the sun from 10 till 2. Now here's John the Beloved. And when I saw him, read it with me. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as a hammer. Why the judgment? Wow. This is who we're going to stand before. This is who we're going to give an account to. Let's go, Raj. Okay, the first judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. There are two judgments. The first one is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where, say it with me, sons will be judged. Sons. Now, of course, we mean daughters as well. We mean children. This is where sons will be judged. Would you rather be judged as a son or a sinner who's never put his faith and trust in Christ? Somebody tell me. I believe I choose a son thing. Amen? I mean, even with our parents, when we did something wrong, I mean, we thought we were going before the devil sometimes. Amen? But listen, but you know they loved us. They never gave to us, most of the good parents, they didn't give to us what we deserved, right? Amen? So we're going to go before Jesus Christ and give an account as a son. Now let's look at some Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Duh, okay. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether we're present or whether we're absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear, say that with me if you don't mind, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So the first judgment is called the, help me, judgment seat of Christ. All right, and that's where sons, those who put their faith in Christ, are going to be judged. I don't usually throw up a lot of big fancy Greek words because I can't hardly read English. But here we go. The Greek word bema is translated into the English as judgment seat. The bema was not a judicial bench where someone was condemned. It was a rewarding seat or rewarding stand. Little background. In large Olympic arenas, there was an elevated seat on which the judge of the contest sat. After the contests were over, the contestants would assemble around the bema to receive their what? Rewards or their crowns. So, the judgment seat of Christ, bema, is sort of like the Olympic days when you'd run the race or you'd participate in the event, and then based on how well you did, you would go get your laurel wreath or your reward. Okay, so this is the judgment seat of Christ. How do we know there's a judgment seat where Christians are going to be rewarded? Because the Bible says so. Flat out, plain Jane. Look at it. It says it many times. Let's look at a couple. We just read one. Here's another one, Romans 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand, say it with me, before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God, so every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I don't know about you. Let me tell you something, friend. That's a pretty scary sermon right there. Amen? That's a pretty scary thought. Now remember what Jesus looked like when we first started the message this morning? Eyes as a flame of fire. Sun that shines in his strength as light. That's light from when? 10 till voice like what? Waterfalls of Niagara. Tell you what. Look at another scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:9 following. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation. Another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But watch this. But he himself shall what? Be saved, yet so as by fire. So we're looking at the judgment seat of Christ. So how do we know there's a judgment seat of Christ? Because the Bible says so. We're talking about the two judgments. Why the judgment seat of Christ? What's the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ? Why are we going to be there in the first place? Here we go. A couple of things. It's not. First of all, you're not going to be at the judgment seat of Christ to determine if you're in or you're out. You're up or you're down. That's not what the judgment seat of Christ is. Why? Because the judgment seat of Christ is where who's going to be judged? Sons, not sinners. Now that doesn't mean that we're not sinners. Can we go and get an amen? We're all sinners. Come on. Amen. Amen. But you know what? God sees you and me as sinners. Listen, as sinners. But when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we become His sons, though still in this world, and we still have this flesh, and we still sin. But He doesn't see us as sinners. He sees us as sons. So it's not a determinant if you're in and out. If you're at this judgment, you're in. And that might be, ooh, baby, I've made it. Listen, it's going to be a fearful thing. If John the Beloved, who loved Jesus Christ to pieces, was on an island cast out there for his faith in Jesus Christ by a wicked king, if he saw him on this island, I'm sure he was glad to see him. And when he saw him, he fell as dead. You think that was a good day, huh? You think if you and I are going to be at the judgment and seeing Him, if this isn't going to be a frightening experience, man, it is going to be. It should motivate us to love Jesus Christ and live for Him on this earth. It's going to happen one day. The Bible says so. You can take it to the bank. Here's something else. It's not to punish you for sins committed since you believed. Okay, I'm a son, but I've screwed up so many times. Am I going to be punished at the judgment seat of Christ? It's not about punishment. It's about rewards. Can you say that with me? It's about rewards. And yes, that's going to hurt, and I believe it will hurt. It's not a punishment, it's a reality. It's a reality. You know what? How many of you as parents, you've had children before, and what they did, you didn't have to punish them because they felt so horrible about it. You ever had situations like that? They just felt so terrible. I mean, you looked at it and thought, well, as bad as they feel, I couldn't one-up that. There's going to be some pretty bad feelings at the judgment. Why the judgment? Why are we going to be there? Before we believed in Jesus Christ, we said it before, God dealt with us as sinners. Since we believed, He deals with us as sons and daughters, as His children. But this is very important. At the judgment seat of Christ, He will deal with us, say it with me, as stewards. Stewards. Well, what is a steward then, preacher man? You're losing me. A steward is a manager of a large household or estate. He's appointed by the owner, entrusted to keep things running smoothly. He had the authority to hire, to fire, to spend, to save, and he was answerable only to the owner. As Christians, we are stewards. Jesus Christ is the owner. We will be answerable to Him for what we've done with His grace and the gifts that He's entrusted to us. So that is why the judgment. And that's why we're going to be there. We're going to give an account because we're stewards. It's not me just motivating you to serve Christ just because I want you to feel better. We're motivated to serve Jesus Christ because it's our obligation. We have to do this. We've been saved and we have a wonderful foundation established for us and we got to build on it. Let a man so account for us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of any man's judgment. Yeah, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. As believers, listen, we have a firm foundation of our faith. It's the death, it's the burial, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. That foundation's unshakable, and we're to build our lives on that foundation. Now listen to me very carefully. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that's laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our foundation, but something else. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Look at this. Gold, silver, precious stones, these are indestructible things. When you and I live our life for Christ, and when we build on that, what's our foundation? Say it with me again. It's the death, it's the burial, and it's the resurrection of Christ. See, that's what we all need. We have to come to Christ on that. It's not about good looks. It's not about good works. Well, I went to church up north. I gave so much money. So what? It's not about that. Do you have the death? Huh? Do you have the burial? Huh? Do you have the resurrection? Huh? Is that what you're standing on? Well, if you are, if you're a Christian, that's how you get in, right there. And from that moment on, you and I are going to give an account of what we put on that. Is it wood? Is it hay? Is it stubble? That means, is it us? Is it junk? Is it meaningless? Is it useless? All that stuff is going to be burned up. But look, if it's gold, if it's silver, if it's precious stones, do you see how that's going to make a beautiful foundation? And it's growing up, and you're going to get rewarded for that. Judgment seat of Christ. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, as the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I want you to see this right here. This ain't talking about purgatory. Okay? Listen. Yes, there are things that are going to be burned up, our works that are useless, our works that didn't get done for Jesus, our works that we could have done we didn't do. It's going to all just go up in smoke. But we're not going to be going up in smoke. This isn't about believers whatsoever. It's about works being burned. And I don't mean to be ugly, but purgatory is a false doctrine, and it gives you a false hope. Okay, I didn't do too good in this life, and I know I'm going to go to that. I'll be locked up in the middle somewhere, and then Grandma, she'll pay stuff to get me out. That ain't happening, friend. Grandma, Daddy, your past relatives, I don't care. You can search your genealogies all day long. It ain't going to do doodly squat. Okay? You either on the foundation or you ain't. So it's not talking about that at all. It's talking about your works are going to be burned up. I know this is a little much for some of us today. I don't want to bore you to tears, but this is important. Some areas that are going to be judged. Now, I've got lots of scripture, but I can't read them all. You can write them down if you want to, or get the video or the DVD later if you'd like it. But here we go. Here's areas we're going to be judged on how we treat others. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. You're going to be judged. You're going to stand before, and I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ. Remember what He looks like now. Okay? We're going to stand before Him. We're going to give an account on how we treated other people. Well, they got on my nerves. Fine. That's fine. Go ahead. They didn't smile at me. I ain't smile at them. Listen, folks, there's a bigger picture here. Marianne Jordan told us this morning. She went to church. So many people in prison go to church. They are not being loved. Church is a game. Church is a place where people go and make themselves feel better. Listen, that's pitiful. It's pathetic. We're going to be judged on how we treat other people. And we should show them forth the love of Christ, for crying out loud. We should die to self. Let's look at some other areas. How we use our authority. If you're a person in authority, and all of us are people under authority, we're going to give an account on how we dealt with that. Next, keep moving. How we use our gifts. I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that's in you. All of you have a gift God has given you. Many of you have many gifts. And you're going to be judged on that. How we use our money. My money. My money. Good. That's fine. Guess what? One day you're going to have that old foundation and it's just going to burn up wood, hay, and stubble. No, I thought it was gold and precious stones. No, it won't. So we're going to give an account on that. You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. God didn't want you to give grudgingly. He wants you to give cheerfully. I think there are going to be folks that give lots of money, but they gave it in the wrong spirit, and they're going to think, oh, I got all these rewards in heaven. You ain't got nothing, Jack. It's all about that heart, doing it right. Amen? Being pure. Listen, how we suffer for our Lord, we're going to give an account for that. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Instead of popping them right back in the mouth, you're going to give an account on it. Poor pig don't owe me. Listen, you go through that. You bear up under those pressures. You're going to be blessed for it. Some other things. Several. How we spend our time. We should redeem the time. The days are evil. We're going to give an account for that. How we run life's race. Know ye that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. Other areas judge. How we control ourselves. You living life out of control, doing whatever you want. Well, I'm saved. I can do it. I can do what I want to. God wants you to live your life in control. I love these verses. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body. I bring to subjection, lest at any means when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. How we control our bodies. How we witness and share the good news of Christ. Remember our series, Life's Too Short Not to What? Fish. Go fishing, man. Fish for folk. We're going to give an account on that. A couple of scriptures on that one, and we'll keep moving. How we respond to temptation. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. And then finally, we're going to, these are just some areas, these are right in the Bible, by the way, that we're going to be judged. How we were faithful to God's Word. Did we take God's Word? Did we twist it? Say, look, did we twist it and twist it and make it fit our needs? Huh? Bible don't really say that, does it, preacher man? Listen, we're going to give an account on how we accepted God's Word. And as pastors, as teachers, all of us are going to give an account on that. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4. And then finally, the first judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. Here's the bottom line. Here it is. Say it with me. Some will receive what? Rewards. And here it is. If any man's work shall abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Now look at the next one. Some will suffer loss. You know what I think? Here's what I think. I think the pastor would agree with me down here today. Some are going to receive rewards. I think all of us are going to suffer loss. Amen. All of us are going to suffer loss. There ain't a perfect one in here. We haven't all been doing the best we can do. We can do a better job. But I want to be right there. I want to receive as many rewards as I can. And also, I want to suffer as little loss as possible when I stand before my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, when you check out of here, boy, that old eternal life stuff gets really in the forefront. You know, it gets really real then. This is going to happen. We live down here in this life. We're preoccupied with all the mess we go through. But this is a real event that's going to take place. This is what I want Christ to say of me. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Can you imagine? Listen to me. Can you imagine what we're doing down here affects what we're going to do forever in heaven? I mean, you're only going to live down here maybe 70, maybe 80, 90 years or so. Listen, but what we're doing down here seems to affect what kind of authority and what kind of position and what kind of things we are doing in heaven. And yet we don't care about it. We don't think about it. That's a pretty scary thought, isn't it? 90 years ain't a whole lot compared to millions, is it? Think about it. Well done! That's what I want to be said of me. And then the last thing, and because of time, I don't have all the time to go through these, but I wanted to put them up for you. Here they are. There are going to be five specific crowns that are mentioned in the New Testament. At least five are mentioned. The crown of incorruption, that's for those that try to live for Christ and don't do everything that you can do. I mean, you can get by with stuff. Sure you can. But you say, no, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to go that place. I don't need that kind of slop. I just don't need it. You try to live for Christ. Second one is this. That's the crown of rejoicing. That's given to people who care about souls, who want to reach others for Christ. You're going to get that reward. Next, there's some scriptures on that. There's the crown of life. The crown of life, let's see the scripture on that one. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. This crown of life is given to those who suffer for Jesus Christ. I know, Mary Ann, we feel sorry for people that suffer for Christ. We feel sorry. We do. But you know what? Those folks are going to be rewarded one day in amazing ways that you and I, we just sort of sailed through. Amen? It's amazing. I think of my mama. I can't help but think of my mama who was abused, who was suffered, and who was actually murdered, I believe, because of her faith. Phenomenal. Mama's getting a crown of life. Amen? It's because she's suffering for Jesus. It's not a bad thing to suffer for the right thing, friend. Crown of righteousness. That's laid up for those who are looking for Jesus appearing. People that don't get so occupied with everything that they forget that He's important, that He's coming again. That crown's going to be given. The last crown is the crown of glory. That's given to people who teach the Word, who preach the Word, who share the Word. They do it faithfully. They don't pervert the Scriptures. All kinds of neat things are given. So, listen. We're talking about the first judgment, and that is the judgment seat of Christ. Are you with me on that? I know that was a lot. Oh my gosh, he's filling my head. Tell me about it. I thought about it when I was studying it. This is probably overload for you. But it's important that you know it's in the Bible. I'd rather you leave this place today saying, if somebody asks you, do you believe in judgment? You believe God's going to judge? You can say, absolutely God's going to judge. Not only is he going to have one judgment, he's going to have two judgments. One's going to be for sons, Christians. One's going to be for sinners. Now let's look at this one quickly. And this one's going to go fast. This is the great white throne judgment. The second judgment. Say this with me. This is where sinners will be judged. Say it one more time. This is where sinners will be judged. Non-believers in Jesus Christ are going to be judged at the great white throne. We didn't talk about when these judgments take place, but it's my view from looking at the Scriptures is that the judgment seat of Christ takes place after the rapture, before the 1,000-year reign on this earth of Christ, and before the tribulation period, or in that zone. That's what I personally believe. It doesn't matter to me. It's going to happen. This one takes place after the millennium, after all of that time period, at the very end, before eternity begins, the great white throne judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now this is a scary judgment. This is a scary judgment. This is for people who aren't Christians. If you're a Christian, you're not going to be here. Okay? But if you're not a Christian, you're going to be here. Look at this. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven ran away. There was found no place for them.
And I saw the dead, small and great, they were standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were, they delivered up the dead and all those that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Scary verse right here. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is called the great white throne judgment of God. Daniel 7 says, I beheld the thrones were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow, and the hairs of his head was like pure wool. This is the Old Testament. Sounds just like Revelation to me. His throne was like the fiery flame. His wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set. The books were opened. This is the great white throne judgment. It's going to happen. You know what? Friday the 13th don't have nothing on this, friend. You know? That's all piddly mess. This is the real deal. Standing before holy God. Let's talk about the great white throne judgment. Let's try to make it real simple and fast and close it out quick. The judge is Jesus. The judge is Jesus. At the great white throne judgment, say it with me. The judge is Aunt Judy. Amen? Ain't Judge Judy. Amen? Judge is Jesus. And remember, next time you judge a brother or sister, it ain't you either. Amen? Hush! Quit judging other people. The judge is Jesus Christ. For the Father judges no man. Listen, isn't that an interesting verse, preacher? If God the Father don't judge, why do we? Amen? You think God the Father would have a right to judge? Amen? He doesn't even judge. He puts that into the hands of His Son, Jesus Christ. Another verse. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also because He's the Son of Man. And He commanded us to preach, Acts 10, unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. 2 Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Who's the judge at the great white throne? Jesus. Now listen to me very carefully. Listen to me. Why does Gary Clark not preach all roads lead to heaven? Why don't I preach? Man, you know, if you're Muslim, it's okay. It ain't okay. Because is Mohammed the judge? Yes or no? No. How about Buddha? How about transcendental meditation? How about Hinduism? Friend, see, I would rather look like a narrow-minded nut and tell you the truth than to somehow make you think you can sail through life doing your own thing or whatever feels good, and you're going to have a rude awakening one day. The judge is Jesus at the great white throne judgment. Now let's look. At every judgment, you got to have your jewelry, right? Got to have your jewelry. Who's the jewelry that day? Here it is. Here's the jewelry. Conscience. Conscience is going to be sitting in the jewelry box. Okay? And you're going to go, well, no, and conscience is going to go, hush. I told you. I spoke to you. I told you you should trust Christ. I nudged at you. Look at what the Bible says. Romans 2. Which show the work of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So number one jury member, hang in here with me. You got the judge is who? Jesus. The jury is conscience. Who else is on the jury? Words. Words. Well, I never said I didn't believe. Whoa. Yes, you did. Look. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of the judgment. For by their words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That conscience is going to condemn you at the great white throne judgment if you're not a Christian. The words that you have spoken, the words you've said, what you've said is going to be there that day. The words. Look at this one. I know this is an ugly message. Come on. Secrets. Here we go. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Listen, that day, secrets are going to show up. Can you imagine that? Say,
let's be honest. How many have ever done something in secret? Raise your hand if you have. Just testify before the Lord today. Guess what? It's showing up, baby. It's showing up.
Gosh, I forgot I did that. Didn't think anybody saw that.
Secrets are going to show up. This is what the Bible teaches. The great white throne judgment. Just in case you think there's wiggle room.
Well, I'll get there. I'll take my chances. I can't stand the bumper sticker. You know, all my rowdy friends are in hell and I'm just waiting. They're waiting on me. We're going to have a party. Or heaven couldn't handle me, so I'm on my way to hell.
That's a big man. I'll see you out front. That'd be fine. We'll talk about it. You're crazy if you think like that, friend. You think you're any match for somebody whose countenance shines from like the sun from 10 to 2?
You can talk loud, man. Talk down to people.
His voice is like the voice of many waters. You got a dog's chance. And all these folk right here are going to condemn you. Let's keep going, Rog. The next one, works, is going to show up. That's going to be on the jury. And no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The judge is Jesus, the jury, conscience, words, secrets, works. And I got to thinking, about last time I checked, that pretty well covers it. You know what I mean? Good grief. Here's the last one. The book of life. The book of life. I think God's going to be fair. Going to look at conscience. Going to look at words. Going to look at secrets. Going to look at works. And I think He's probably going to say something like this. Listen. Let's just make sure. Let's see if their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's look at the name. Is the name there? Let's scroll it, baby. Come on. Is the name? Is it there? Ernest T. Bass. We're looking for it. Here we go. Here we go. Bernie, we're having trouble, baby. Here we go. Okay? You hearing me? I mean, I'm serious. Listen to this. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Keep going. Another scripture. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Say this verse with me. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of... You know, I want to be as nice a guy as I can. I want to try to encourage you as a pastor. And I even had somebody not long ago, they told me specifically, they didn't like that hellfire and brimstone preaching. Okay? And that's fine. I mean, I can handle people's opinions. Of course, I told them right away, when I come across it, I'm going to preach, okay? I don't like it either, friend. I don't like it either. This pastor doesn't like it either down here. We don't like to preach on hell. We don't like to preach on the judgments. But I'd rather you to know what the Bible says than to go out of here not knowing. There are two judgments. One is the judgment seat of Christ. That's where sons are going to be judged. That's where I want to be, right there. That's where Clark is, man. I'm there already. Okay? The next one is for sinners. That's those who have said no to Jesus Christ. And there are not any works or anything being rewarded here. It's all bad. And you're going to be cast into hell. That's what the Bible says. So we see the judge is Jesus, the jury. We looked at it, and finally, the judgment. What is the judgment? Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus speaking. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Jesus speaking. Revelation. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The judgment. What is the judgment? It's separation from God. Forever in the lake of fire. This is the great white throne judgment. To me, it's the scariest thing I can think of. Is standing before God and being separated from Him forever and being cast into a place called hell. It literally exists.
Here you go. Checkup time. You ready? Where you at? Where you at? Are you on this side? This is where I want to be. You want to be with me right here? Say. Amen. You'll be on this side? Say. Amen. This is where you want to be? This is where I want to be right here. Where you at? Are you over here? Have you believed in Christ? Have you believed in Christ? Or are you over here? Have you not believed? We're all sinners. But what's going to happen? Put me right here, Raj. It's where I want to be. It's a scary thing. I'm going to stand before Christ one day and I'm going to give an account of what I've done. But I'm going to give an account as a son who's been saved, who made it in. Hallelujah. Amen? Where you at? Where you at on the page? Check yourself out. This is important today. Think about it. It's your move. It's your move. It's your move. It's your move. Where you at today? You're not going to miss the judgment. You're going to be at one or the other. Are you a son? Saved? Are you in? Are you a sinner? Separated? Are you out? Finally. You're going to stand before Him one day. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a great verse, say? Isn't that great? Where are you at today? Did I talk to you about being perfect today? Yes, I didn't, did I? We're all sinners. But you're either a son or daughter or child of God, or you're not. Where are you today? The judgment. What's up with that? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it speaks to our hearts. Father, this is it's frightening. But Father, honestly, I'm not as fearful because I know You. I believe in Jesus. I certainly have not done all You wanted me to do, that's for sure. And I confess again, as I've done many times, Lord, that I've missed the mark. And so I ask for Your forgiveness. But Father, thank You that You claim me, that I'm Yours because of my believing in what You did, Lord Jesus. Not what I've done, but what You've done. And so, Father, I just thank You for being good, so good to us. Thank You for dying for us so we could live. Thank You for laying that foundation for us, the death, the burial, resurrection, so that we could have a life that we could live for Christ on this earth and then have a life in eternity to live with Him. So thank You for that. I pray You'll use Your Word, Father. We tried to give it out today, Lord, so people could see it. Not only hear it, but also see it on the big screen. Father, I just wanted folks to be able to see. Are they in or the out? Are they a son or they're just a sinner, never accepted Christ? Help us all, Father. Help us not think just because, yes, we're saved, that there's not going to be a judgment for us. And especially for those who are not Christians today, Father, I pray You'd speak to their heart. I pray they'd see that You're an awesome, powerful, mighty, loving, terrible God. And I pray that they would accept Jesus today. That's my prayer. That's all I know how to do, Lord, is present it and ask on Your behalf. And I'm doing that, Lord. Bless, we pray. In Jesus' name.